Xbox 360 SoloCast. I am your host, Smitty Smit, and unfortunately this week I do not have an episode for you. There's just some personal things going on and I don't have time to record. However, because I've opened the podcast up to the fans, one of the longtime listeners has decided to send in an audio response to the Black Ops 2 episode. So, without further ado, I give you Winterwind.
Hi there, my name is Winterwind, that's W-Y-N-T-E-R-W-I-N-D, and you can find me by that name on Xbox Live and Twitter, or on my website at winterwind.com. Since Smitty Smit was kind enough to open up the floor to audio responses, following the Black Ops 2 episode, I wanted to share some of my own thoughts about the game and what we know so far. Like Rare Bishop and Pencil Steve that were on the episode, I'm also a member of the Warner Swords Modern Warfare 3 Elite Clan. Personally, I'm a bit of a latecomer to Call of Duty. I only got started with it with Black Ops, but I've played first-person shooters all the way back to the Doom and the Quake days. As far as Black Ops 2 goes, I think, first of all, it's far too early to judge whether any of the guns, the perks that we're seeing are overpowered. Gamescom, the build they were playing, it was an early alpha. They said there's still a lot of tuning to be done. And I definitely think we're going to see a lot better overall tuning of the game, thanks to the change, first of all, breaking out the gun modifiers into attachments, because that'll let them more finely tune things based on each gun. But I also think Treyarch learned a lot with the first Black Ops, and especially once Black Ops got on the MLG Pro Circuit, they were really able to see the game played at that high competitive level and really talk with a lot of the top-level players and get a handle on the game in a light that they never really had internally. And I think the way they've embraced that, we're going to see a lot more of that going forward, and I think it's going to really benefit everybody in the game. I think what we're going to see is a lot more variety in the guns and the types of loadouts and classes that people are going to play, even though there probably will be that still the cream of the crop weapon out there. Because really, I mean, when you're talking about game balance, that doesn't mean everything is equal. It means it's just what it says. It's balance. Some things will be better for one purpose, and then on the other side, there will be not necessarily a direct counter to that, but there will be an offsetting benefit on the other side. When it comes to the actual loadouts, a lot of my own opinions are going to be based on the fine details of the game that we won't really see until the game comes out. Gun choices, especially for me, are a really personal thing. I tend to like high rate of fire guns, high damage guns, or ones with really predictable recoil. And you can't really get that just from looking at charts or even other people's gameplay. That's one of those things you've got to get in there, try out the different guns, and see what works for you. So I'm looking forward to actually getting into that. The one thing that did jump out at me was the select fire attachment, because I've grown to like burst and semi-automatic rifles for long distance engagements. So that's probably one of those things I'm going to really gravitate towards early on and try out, because it gives you the option of both in one thing. Looking at the perks, I'll probably do something similar to what I did in Black Ops. I play a lot of Domination, so perk one, I'll probably be looking heavily at Flag Jacket. Probably have one Blind Eye class for anti-air purposes. Perk two, I really think I'm looking at Scavenger, because going back to a Treyarch game, we're also getting grenades replenished with that. Hardwired, Toughness, I may give those a look, but right now, early on, I'm leaning towards Scavenger. For Perk 3, a lot of that's going to depend on the interaction between Dead Silence and Awareness. Seeing how they cancel one another out, I may run one of the others of those. I'll probably have at least one class running Extreme Conditioning for flag runs, one class at least with Tactical Mask. Not really sure if I'm going to go the perk wildcard route. If I do, probably perk 1, Maybe combine Flak Jacket with Hardline to get those score streaks earlier. My biggest concern, though, has to do with Ghost. I'm not really like a lot of the vocal detractors that think that Ghost and perks like that is the cause for slower gameplay and other things they dislike about the game. What I'm worried about is it's being presented as cannot be detected by enemy UAVs while moving. On the surface, that sounds great. It sounds like just the sort of thing you want. It sounds like the way that they've said they've intended that perk to be played is for someone trying to stay off the radar, on the move and everything, moving around the map, not sitting up and staying still. The big question, which we'll probably have to wait and see at release, is just what sort of movement threshold they're setting for that. If the threshold's too low, it'll be easy for people to game the system and still essentially sit in place well off the radar. The threshold's too high, the perk pretty much becomes useless. I think they're really going to be taking a hard look at that as they fine-tune the game, and I mean, I've got a lot of trust in Treyarch and David Vondahar, his team. I think they're going to come up with something, and so I'm kind of looking forward to that one. The other big change we've got this time around is the score streaks. I think overall they look really cool. I've got a lot of mixed feelings about the Orbital VSAT, basically the new Blackbird being included. It's a fun perk when you're the one running it on your team, or you're playing with guys that are running it, getting it, but as you know, I mean, it's a real game changer that can dominate the game. I mean, there's a reason a lot of people call it instant skill. I honestly think it should have been moved to an even higher score level, possibly even the highest score level to get it, because of just how much it does change the game. And what we saw in Black Ops, of you get one guy who gets a Blackbird, that leads to the next guy getting his Blackbird, and they chain them together, and you end up playing half the game with a Blackbird up against you, even though it's not the same one. They just lead one after the other to one another. For me, I'm probably going to go back to a similar mindset of what I used in Black Ops. Black Ops, I ran the standard 3-4-5 kill streaks of UAV, counter UAV, napalm. Right now, I'm looking at UAV, counter UAV as two staples for me. Then maybe the Hunter Killer, maybe the Care Package, maybe as much as Guardian. If I run all three, Guardian looks like it could be good for domination. But honestly, with the 10-point system, I think players who have a little harder time consistently getting to that third streak, they may want to drop the third streak, only run two, use that extra point somewhere else in their loadout. I personally, I'm going to be taking a hard look at that. I think it's something that could really work out well. As far as game modes go, I mean, for the most part, it looks about the same as what we've seen. Hardpoint sounds like a cool new addition, kind of a combination of Headquarters that we know and a little taste of Drop Zone from Modern Warfare 3. I like the round-based domination. I really hope that becomes the default for domination, to be honest. Takes a lot of the luck factor out of which spawn you get off the break. Gives you a nice break in the action to regroup if your team's really getting beat. And it'll also, I think, it'll introduce a bit of that round-based strategy and when to call in your score streaks, sort of like you get with a game like Demolition. If it's right near the end of the first round, do you want to call in that streak, or do you want to save it for the next round and lead right off with it? I really think that's got a lot of potential. The other thing I wanted to touch on is the league play. I think the option's intriguing. I'm not quite sure how much I'm going to personally get into it. In theory, I agree with David Vondahar's sentiments about people loving to compete and being able to compete at any level. My gut feeling, though, is that a lot of people, especially those who really focus on their stats in the games, they may not play in the league play, especially if those stats are tracked on their main stats. They're not going to want to risk their precious kill-death ratio or something like that taking on people who are real competition. They would rather go and just play in a pub match, really overwhelm a bunch of random people who aren't coordinated, and pad their stats, and they get their fun, and they go on their merry way and do it to the next lobby. My other concern with the league play is that it may end up really fragmenting the player base even further. I mean, you already see that somewhat with all the different game modes. Now, if you've got league play, that's just another option of more people wanting to go over and play there that are not going to be in the main core type game modes for you to play against. So, I mean, only time will tell on that. But really, that's about all I've got for now. Thanks again to Smitty for the opportunity to respond and participate. And thank you for all the hard work you keep putting into the podcast. Have a great one, everybody.